We're going to go to chapter 3 and read verses 1 through 17. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, that will be found on page 834. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. We read these words. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, and in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as God forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wonderful passage of Scripture. I'm looking forward to hearing what God's Word has to say to us this morning.
Thank you, Julie, for that beautiful song. You know, we look at some of those children's songs, This Little Light of Mine, Jesus Loves Me. Sometimes we overlook the importance of the message that's in those songs. And it is a very, very powerful message. And so it's so refreshing to hear things from that perspective. So thank you, Julie, for sharing that with us. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to ask you the question of, are you put off? Sometimes when we hear of people being put off, we think, oh man, you know, they've been offended or whatever. That's not what we're talking about at all. What we're talking about in this particular passage of Scripture is the idea that when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, the old person dies. You put off sinful life, sinful living, and you put on the righteousness of Christ. The Greek translation of this kind of indicates like a change of clothing. You take off that which is dirty and filthy and that kind of thing, and you get a brand new set of clothes. Well, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what takes place in our lives. We take the filthiness of the world, we take the sinfulness, and that is put aside. And then we are covered in the righteousness of Christ. And so the question is, are you put off? Or are you still the one who controls every aspect of your life, and God is not welcome to be your king, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to be your forgiver, to be your cleanser, to be your sanctifier, to be Lord in your life. Because that's what it takes. If we are going to honor God with our lives, He has to be given free access to everything we are. He needs to be able to cleanse and to replace that in our lives that is a hindrance to our lives with Himself. And so I want to share with you, out of this particular passage, five things this morning. I want to share with you that we need to have a forward focus. There needs to be a former self. There needs to be a forming church. There needs to be a family attitude. And that there is a formula for growth. And so let's look at these five elements. First of all, I want us to notice a forward focus. Look with me at the beginning of this third chapter of Colossians, the first four verses. Your translation may read a little differently than mine. I'm using the New American Standard. The NIV words these things a little differently, but the intent is the same. Notice, As Paul is writing here, he says, If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. You see, as Paul is writing this, he's talking about the fact that we need to have a forward focus. This life is so short. It was 3 weeks ago when I was 19 years old. At least it seems like 3 weeks ago. Now I'm looking at my 60th year. It's just incredible to me how brief life really is. By the way, Bill Paul's 75, so I've got a ways to go. You knew I was going to use that at some point, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes. But you see, life here is so brief. And if we focus only on what is here and the here and now, we're going to miss God's opportunity for eternal life for us. And so the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church at Colossae, he's telling them, look, you need to have the mindset towards eternity, and not focus here and now, but realize what there is out in front of you. You know what I like about the idea of getting to heaven? I'll be 19 again. And you know what's great about that? I will forever be 19. I think that's incredible. I will have all of my hair back. I will have all of my teeth. And they'll be mine. Some of you know what I mean. I will be able to hear perfectly. You know, everything will be restored and renewed, and it'll be that way forever. What an incredible thing to look forward to. But you know what? If my vision is focused only on the here and now, I'm going to miss that. And it's important that we understand. So, and that's why Paul says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things here on the earth. Folks, this world is going to burn. All right? It is. The Bible tells us that. I really don't think it's going to happen December 21st because the Mayan Indians said it would. I'm sorry. I don't buy that. I pray that it happens December 20th just to prove them wrong. But the reality is that if we are just setting ourselves and our focus on the things here on the earth, we are throwing money in a burning building. We've got people with incredible wealth. My son-in-law, stand up, Tom. Stand up. Turn and look at the folks and confess that you go from house fire to house fire, take out pockets full of money, and throw it in the fire.
Yes.
You know where liars go, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Right where you're going. Right where I'm going. But I'm going to tell you, folks, if we only plan for the here and now, it's exactly what we're doing. We're going to a house fire and throwing in our money. We need to be prepared for judgment after this life. The only way we can get prepared is by giving our lives to Jesus Christ and letting Him have full control of us, because He moves our vision away from the things of earth to the glory of heaven. You need to have a forward focus. Secondly, as we're looking at this, we need to understand that there's a former self. As Paul continues here in verses 5 through 9, he says this, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, an abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." You see, folks, before we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, Paul gives us a definition of what we really are. Before we enter into faith with Jesus Christ, we are headed for a place of eternal suffering and eternal torment. But once we come into relationship with Jesus, our former life is gone. That's passed away. And we have the opportunity then to become new. Now, at any point in life, we can retreat back into that former life if that's what we want to do. I wouldn't advise it. That wouldn't be a wise thing to do. We need to keep our former sinful self former. We need to die to sin, to self-centeredness, and to all of the things that Paul lists here. We need to die to all of that in order that we can be raised in the righteousness of Christ and be reflective of Jesus Christ. And in fact, let our little light shine, like Julie sang about. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, the former self needs to die. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body yourself, your total self. Consider that dead, so that you're no longer going to walk in immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, all of those things that amount to idolatry, because that's what God is going to pour out in wrath on them. And that's what you used to be, he says. That's the way that you used to walk. But now, there's these other things that we need to set aside in order to grow and to become what God wants us to be. And so we need to put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from our mouths. Don't lie to each other, since you laid aside that old self with all of its evil practices. That's been set aside. Don't retreat back into those practices. And then third, he talks about the idea of the forming church. Look at verses 10 and 11. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Now look at this. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. You see, the forming church. Remember, at the time that these words were being written, what was happening? But the church was actually being spread throughout the world. There were areas that had never had the opportunity for the gospel. There were areas that never had the opportunity to be able to have life in Christ. There were areas where it just seemed as though they were lost and in darkness, and there was so much prejudice that was going on. You know, the Jews hated the Gentiles hated the Jews. Everybody figured themselves to be more superior than the other. And now there comes this point where Christ has died for everyone. And the Jews are going, are you kidding me? He died for those dogs, the Gentiles. And that's what they used to call the Gentiles. They used to call them dogs. And Paul's saying, yep, he died for the Gentiles. Well, then what about our slaves? Now, surely these ignorant slaves, they certainly don't have an opportunity for life. Paul says, yeah. Yeah, they do. They have the opportunity for life the same as anyone else. What about the Scythians? I mean, you know, they're kind of repulsive people. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for them. And so there's this emerging church that's coming. And as people find Christ, they're finding that it is possible to love someone of a different nationality, of a different skin color, of a different age. It is possible to love one another when they come from different backgrounds and discover that we can all be one in Christ. The biggest thing that I struggle with is the fact that there's going to be Boston Red Sox fans in heaven. But you know what? Even though they'll probably have their own corner of heaven, they'll be there. No, that's really not important. But what is important is the fact that God has opened up the door for anyone. Anyone who will come to Christ. And He wants us to work together for the cause of the kingdom. To be able to build the church. And so He's in the process of forming this church. And a part of that then becomes this issue of a family attitude. Look at verses 12 through 15. He says, "And so, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful." You see, as Paul is writing and he's telling the brand new church there at Colossae, he's saying, look, there's going to be tons of things to try to divide you. Be a family. Forgive one another, love one another. Do everything that you can do to maintain peace and harmony. And folks, that becomes a part of what needs to be our attitude one towards another. Family is an interesting dynamic, isn't it? If your family is anything like my family, it's an interesting dynamic. And I know you're thinking, oh yeah, well, Tom, part of your family, I'm sure that that's interesting. Lynette's sitting there thinking, yeah, well, I have this brother who lives over in Bradford. And he sure makes life interesting. Emily's going, phew, got away from them. But that's not what I was referring to. Much of that is true, but that's not what I was referring to. But you know what? In spite of what happens within the family, there is still that connection of love. No matter what, there is love. It's what family is. That's what it needs to be. And if we are to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish as a church, there must be that connection of love. And I'll tell you what, it's not love when people sit like this going, I got to have my way. If I don't have my way, then it's the highway. That's not love. Love is understanding. Love is forgiveness. Love is compassion. Love is truth. Love is honesty. Love is understanding that, you know, as family, we're going to have some differences. We're going to have some struggles. We're going to have some grinding against one another once in a while. But when we put that all in perspective and realize that even more important than those times is the fact that God is at work in all of us, even through our differences, that's the most important thing. Paul's telling us, let there be a family attitude in the body of Christ. Number 5, Then Paul moves on and he gives us, if you will, a formula for growth. He says this, number one, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. In other words, feast upon the scriptures and you'll grow. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching, sharing what you have learned so that others can learn from what you have. Admonishing one another. You know what? That's an interesting word, admonishing. Because it means encouraging one another, but it also means disciplining one another. Because there's times, if your family's like mine, there's times when discipline becomes necessary. And I can't believe that there's a home represented here that never had a discipline issue. I'll bet there's not a parent here who can honestly and truthfully stand up and say, my kids were so perfect, I never had to yell at them. My kids were so perfect that I never had to discipline them in any way. Because, man, I don't know what you're smoking, but you better get rid of it. Because that's an out-and-out lie. Sometimes there's discipline within the family. How that discipline is responded to indicates the condition of our heart. There have been a good many times in my spiritual walk when God has taken me to the woodshed and said, Lynn, you and I need to have a talk. Man, his talks hurt. Of course, you've probably never had to be taken to God's woodshed. That's probably only me. But it's been me. And if you'll be honest, it's been you. But we can encourage one another, but we do that with truth. We do that with honesty. We do that with integrity. We do that which is pleasant, but we also are willing to step up and do that which is unpleasant. All for the sake of the integrity of Christ. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it leaves us black and blue. But it leaves us pure. So it's important for us to understand that. And so he says, look, this is a part of growth. He says, and then admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Be a blessing to one another and encourage one another. He says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let me interject something here. If you can't do something in the name of the Lord Jesus, you shouldn't do it. All right? If you cannot practice some behavior in the presence of Christ, then you shouldn't do it. You should stay away from that. And that's important for us to remember. And then he says here, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Through Jesus Christ, may all praise go to the Father. Are you put off? Is the old man gone and dead and buried? And behind you? Or are you kind of holding on to the dead body? Are you clutching unto that which is past. Who are you following? Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, to please take your hymnals. Open up to number 447. Freely, freely. Folks, freely, God has given you the opportunity for life through Jesus Christ. He doesn't charge you. You can't buy Him, but you can receive Him. And if you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, I don't have Jesus as my personal Savior, I want you to know that today is the perfect opportunity. Join Cammie in this brand new opportunity at life. Join Benny Eddy in this brand new opportunity at life. Join these who have walked with Jesus, some of them for years and years and years. Join Elsie, who has walked with Christ for years and years and years. I won't say centuries, years and years and years. Put off the old man and his sinfulness. Be made new in the image of Christ. Freely, God is offering you a fresh start. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we invite you to come as we sing number 447. I want to thank you for being here today. And we're going to have Sylvia come and give us a benediction song. But I'd like you to remember that Jesus Christ is simply a prayer away. A prayer where you simply acknowledge to Him that you've sinned. Seek His forgiveness. Repent of that sin. And ask Him to come into your life. Don't make it more difficult than the way that God has made it. He said His word is so simple that even a fool will not err therein. Anyone can have life in Christ. Give Him your life. Find hope. So I'm going to ask Sylvia to come and lead us in our benediction. Council members, I would remind you of a very brief meeting right up front here. Randy, would you be willing to just kind of conduct that? Okay? It's just one little issue, and I believe the ladies are going to present that. So you can go ahead and present that so that I can be sure and greet folks. But listen, God bless you. We invite you back tonight. Have a great day in Jesus Christ today. Sylvia, would you please lead us?